I have a slight exercise, so those of you up here might want to come join the rest of us down here for the next little bit. Please be seated. Now, ideally, we would be in a large, more open space without some of the pews, but we're not. So instead of having, I'm going to ask a question, I'm going to ask you to find people near you, groups of about three or four, and not all of you are supposed to have the same answer. No, wait. All of you are supposed to have the same answer to the question. Are you a cat person or a dog person? Everyone with a cat person, raise your hand. Okay, so we are mostly dog people here. So if the cat people can kind of find each other and the dog people, form small groups. If you're both, pick one. Dog people, you are in the majority, so if you can find two or three people, you need to be close enough that you can discuss, you can answer the next question in a small group. So yeah, you guys are fine. Some of the people, some of them are more spread out. Pick one. If you are neither, but you had to pick between a cat or a dog, find that group. Okay, in your new groups, Linda? Ah, very good. So in your new groups, so you should now be in small groups that are either cat people or dog people or your refuge of best recourse. In your new groups, what is your favorite kind of music? Talk amongst yourselves. Your favorite kind of music. Okay, so we're going to repeat this again. So I'm going to ask one question and we're going to form groups of like minds. Did you grow up in the city or in the country? So how many people are city, grew up in a city? Okay, so if you don't have your hand up, find other people without their hand up. If you do, find other people with their hand up. Say, no, new groups. New groups. Girls, city people. As long as it's not the exact same people, you're fine. So you just traded spouse, so your odds go up. Okay, as you find your new groups, in your new group, the question to discuss is, if you had to pick one meal for your last meal, what would it be? What would your last meal be? If you had to pick one meal for your last meal, what would it be? Okay, we're going to do this one last time, and then I'll let you go back to your non-assigned but regular seating. Do you consider yourself comfortable with computers? Yes or no? So if you consider yourself comfortable with computers, put your hand up. Okay, people of like minds, find yourselves again. Okay, as you find your new groups, here's the question to discuss within the group. If you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, what would it be? Okay, have you all figured out the one movie you would watch?
Yes.
Excellent. So I've got just sort of a general survey question. As you broke up into the different groups, which were based around affinity, things you mostly had in common, how many of the groups had the exact same answers to the second question? To any of them, in general. Sometimes, but not always. Yeah. Now, I want you to remember that, in general, we should have really had two groups, so even if your small group had the same answers to the second one, the whole group of you probably wouldn't have. We spend a lot of time dividing people up into groups because it's easier, but the truth is, no group thinks, acts, and believes completely the same way. Our job, which we'll keep talking about in a minute here, is to find ways to celebrate our diversity, not fear our differences. If you want to go back to your seating, I'll give you a few seconds before the sermon starts. If you want to stay here, whatever. I don't have to. You could wait.
About that one home, I think it's, and they hear us because of that.
No.
You might want to tell them before they start just to look at what order the verses go.
I was going
to. The choir.
Yeah, I was going to. Thank you for the reminder, though. So I want to start with sort of a bit of pretending, because a lot of things happen in the gospel this morning, and they're really important, but I think we miss some of the basic things that happen. Jesus is sort of across the sea from Galilee, which means he's not hanging out with Jews. He's gone away from his people, so to speak. And as he comes up to this city, the first person to meet him is a man, we are told, who has been possessed. And this is not a simple possession. The name this man offers when he is asked later on is Legion, which at the time would have easily been connected with the Roman Legion, which was thousands and thousands of people. This is not a simple possession. But what I think we forget is what this man must have seemed like to the people he lived closest to. When they looked at him, when the disciples looked at him for that matter, even if they didn't know sort of all this backstory they would get in a minute, what did they see? Well, the gospel tells us he didn't wear clothes anymore. So he would have been naked, which not what you want to see on your, you know, regular travels. Hey, we are told he didn't live in a house. He lived outside of civilization. We're told he lived in the tombs with the dead. So he would have been considered weird at best and unclean at worst. And because he didn't live in a home or near civilization, he probably was actually not clean. He was probably quite filthy by now. And then we're told something that I think we sort of gloss over, that the people in his town feared him. And they would try to chain him up, but there were never quite chains that could hold him, but he would break the chains, and the demons that had possessed him would force him away from the only people who were trying to help him, even if they weren't doing it really well. So they would have found this very unkempt, filthy person without any clothes and with manacles and chains, and he would have kind of rattled, even though he wasn't wearing anything else. I would have been terrified. I think that's actually what most people would have felt in that moment, because here is someone who is so clearly not seen as safe. And he's the first person you meet in this land. And he and Jesus have this conversation, which has some interesting layers. We're just gonna sweep past those, because we get to the end, where the demons that are inside of this man are so scared they will be sent back to the abyss, which at this point in time in Jewish thought is where all demons lived. It's sort of like hell, but not what you think of when you think of hell. And Jesus says, I can do that. Sure, you want to go into the pigs instead. And the Jewish joke here, we have to remember, is that pigs are unclean. So sending the demons into the pigs is kind of like, well, What's that going to hurt? Nothing. It's fine. And even when we can hear that, I think we miss what the demons were hoping for. Here is the Son of the God of Israel. But surely in the pigs I'll be safe. The demon, though, wasn't on the boat. If you go to Luke 8, where this story is found, and you read the story before it, it's the story where the disciples have gotten onto the boat and Jesus has fallen asleep and a huge storm has come up and they are terrified. And when Jesus wakes up, he chastises them and he stills the storm. Because this is who Jesus actually is. He is the Son of the God of Israel, a God who controls the world. He could still storms, and even the pigs aren't beyond his control. So maybe if we're reading carefully this larger story Luke is telling us, we shouldn't be surprised when what the pigs do is run down the hill and into the water and drowned. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that the demons cannot be safe wherever they go. But that's a tricky idea, I think, at the same time. This man who would have had so many chains on his arms and his legs, his demons, even if they weren't seen as safe, even if they weren't, in fact, safe, the townspeople were used to them. When they come out because they are terrified because of what has happened to their pigs, and they find this man returned to his right mind, having put on clothing, having literally put civilization back on his body, they are terrified. And they ask Jesus to leave. Maybe because they didn't quite know what is going on there. Or maybe because they did know what is going on there, and it's just a little too much for us some of the time. Because most of the time, we like a God who thinks like we think. A God who lives inside of our fears instead of outside of them, challenging them and breaking them down for us. Because that God, that is a scary thing to have happen. Really, in some ways, there's no difference between these people who live in the land of the Gerasenes and the Galatians Paul writes to in our letter. We've taken Paul's words, and there is no longer Jew or Greek, male or female, as sort of, well, of course. Because largely those aren't the divisions we, in our society, break across. Okay, maybe the male and female one still needs some work. But Jews and Greeks aren't locked in bitter conflict. We've mostly, in the first world, done away with slavery. But that's not the same as no longer being divided. That's not the same is no longer being scared of people who aren't quite like us. I think that if Paul were to write today, he would change the words a bit. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Aboriginal and settler. There is no longer male and female, no longer gay and straight. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, freed from fear, and heirs according to the promise. I want a world where we can read that as commonly accepted knowledge. Because I think that is the world God is calling us into. One where our differences aren't something to be scared of, but part of the wondrous and varied creation God has made. Amen.